Hello, everyone. Hope you're having a great weekend. Welcome into the Rebel Room. This is the fourth installment of the Rebel Room up here in Ely, Nevada, as I, Ryan Green, LasVegasSun.com, UNLV football beat writer, is up here with the Rebels as they undergo their week-long training camp. And today, Saturday, the biggest day up here in Ely for the team, it was scrimmage day. A little bit of a different scrimmage. I know when you think scrimmage, you're probably thinking they got out there in the morning and played an actual game. They did not. It was a situational scrimmage. They put the team into different situations. You know, say, okay, you're going to start at the 25. It's first and 10. Go for it. Or fourth and goal at the 3. Third and goal at the 9. So the stats a little skewed, but I've got plenty of that for you. Plenty of notes. Might as well just get it started jumping into the guys who stood out most today. MVPs on each side of the ball. Offense, I went with Omar Clayton. Clayton, on the day, went 6 of 9 for 60 yards, 3 touchdown passes. 2 of his incompletions were interceptions. One kind of borderline, and it was called an interception by the coaches. Ryan Tillman picked it off at about the 2. May have hit the ground, may not have. May have been pass interference, may not have. But still, Omar had a good day because, you know, this guy entering his second season as the full-time starter for the Rebels, he just looks confident in command, has a very good grasp of this offense, and I'll tell you, it's a luxury when if your team doesn't have to worry about the quarterback situation. It's the most vital position on the field, and UNLV is very set there. Mike Clawson behind him was only 2 of 7 for 4 yards. However, 3 drops by Renan St. Preux. He also had a fumble. So those numbers a little jaded as well. But running the ball, a lot of people looking at the running back battle going on. Of the 5 in competition, 4 of them played. C.J. Cox still out with the hamstring injury. Channing Trotter, the junior who really has looked better than anyone probably in Ely, he kept that up. 5 carries, 33 yards, and a 1-yard touchdown run. He also had 1 catch for 6 yards, had another catch for 4 yards on the first play of the day that was called back due to a false start. Bradley Randall, the freshman everyone was really looking forward to seeing, 6 carries, minus 13 yards. 10 of them were lost on one play when Hevaha Mafi just came in on a blitz and blew him up with a tackle for loss late in the afternoon. But Bradley had a little bit of a tough time going. Of course, this is not indicative of anything down the road, but the first step was a little shaky for him. Defensive MVP of the day. I went with linebacker Ronnie Paulo, Western High product. The junior, the middle linebacker, he was ferocious. Had a sack, 2 tackles for loss. He also had a fumble recovery on a ball that was stripped by Bo Orth from Mark Bearfield on an inside route late in the scrimmage. But boy, Paulo, and a lot to be said for the entire defensive front. Just they were in the quarterback's kitchen all day. No matter who it was, they were in the backfield. The moves we talked about earlier this week that were made by Andre Patterson, the defensive line coach, and moving Jason Beauchamp to the outside, putting him down as a defensive end as opposed to a linebacker, moving Malo Taumua outside as a speed rusher, putting Isaako Atui inside. Tui had a sack today, but great pressure all day from the defensive front, so a good showing for them. And the key I wrote about today in the notebook, balance. This team showed a lot of balance today. You know, the offense got its shots in. The defense got its shots in. It was not lopsided. Last year in Ely, all throughout fall camp, a little bit lopsided, I think you could say. Last year the offense was light years ahead of the defense, it looked at times. And during the regular season, the defense had more struggles than the offense, let's just be honest. But defensively, playmakers are emerging. I already mentioned a few. Also, Alex DiGiacomo, who I honestly believe at some point is going to be fully with the ones as a starting safety. This kid continues to impress. Had 2 interceptions on Tuesday, I believe it was. Or no, on Wednesday, excuse me. And then today, had a pick during the scrimmage and in the end zone off of an Omar Clayton throw. So he continues to impress. A couple other notes from today. Jordan Barrett, the freshman linebacker from Notre Dame Prep in Sherman Oaks, California, arrived. He, of course, no longer gray-shirting. He is taking the place that was going to be had by Cheyenne High speedster Marcus Sullivan, who did not qualify academically or has yet to. Jordan Barrett, gets to campus, camp in Ely on Friday. Today, they switch him from linebacker to tight end. Barrett seems okay with it. Boy, this kid is he's a big body. He looks the part. Like I said yesterday, played some tight end in high school. And, you know, remember, in UNLV's spread offense, the tight end doesn't need necessarily to be a great pass catcher. He needs to be a great blocker. And this kid physically looks like he's going to be able to handle the job. On hand today, two scouts from the New England Patriots. I would imagine they might have been taking a look at Ryan Wolf or a Jason Beauchamp. Wolf only played two series. He played two series, wasn't thrown to, didn't catch a pass, and then kind of rested the rest of the afternoon. Of course, he needs he probably needs less practice than just about anybody else on the field at any given time. Also on hand, Casey Flair, former Rebels receiver who signed with the UFL's Las Vegas, I hate saying this name, Locomotives, on Friday. He was on hand. He's leaving for Scottsdale, Arizona on Friday. Where he'll get his playbook and also get acquainted with quarterbacks J.P. Lossman and Tim Rattay, throwing some passes. So a congrats goes out to Casey Flair, a good kid who is a hard worker and really deserves the shot that he's getting. Hope he makes the most of it. One other star of the day to point out, Philip Payne. I'm pointing him out last because this is the kid decided to feature for Sunday. And a lot going on here. Philip Payne, you know, last year obviously made a name for himself with the fade pattern. Scored 7 touchdowns as a freshman, played 10 games, played 9 games, 10 games. Missed a couple due to concussion woes. He made his mark early in the season with the one-handed catch at Arizona State, the game-winning catch in overtime against Iowa State on the fade. But, you know, proved to be a little vulnerable. Took the big hit against BYU in the fourth quarter. Missed the next week at TCU. Came back a week later against New Mexico. Was upended, landed on his head. Concussion. Missed the last 2 games of the season. So 9 games, I stand corrected. But, you know, added 15 pounds in the offseason. And him and Chris Singovich both talk about how he wants to be a more well-rounded receiver this year. And, boy, he showed a lot of it he's shown a lot of it in camp. His only 2 catches on Saturday, however, came on the fade route. A 3-yard touchdown over Warren Ziegler, a 12-yard touchdown over Courtney Bridget, the 6'3" Courtney Bridget, who matches up with Payne very well. But on a slant route later in the scrimmage, took a hard shot from Chris Jones, the converted quarterback out of Shadow Ridge High. Took a huge hit, lost the ball after having his hands on it. And Sinkovich made a great point afterwards, said, you know, if the concussions were anything he was thinking about, which he didn't think it was, he forgot about it right there because he took the big shot, he got up, walked away. They all think that he's past the concussions mentally. That certainly looks to be the case so far. Of course, a lot of season left to be played, but Philip Payne looking pretty good. The well-rounded things that they wanted to develop, getting off the press at the snap, he's looked a lot better in doing that. His hands are very efficient right now. Philip Payne, I think, is poised for a pretty big year, and he showed flashes of that on Saturday. So what's on tap for the Rebels? They now have their longest hiatus while they're up here in Ely, about 30 hours between the end of Saturday's scrimmage and the start of Sunday's 4 p.m. practice. 1 practice on Sunday, 2 practices on Monday, starting at 9:40 a.m. and 5:15 p.m. Before signing off for the 4th installment of the Rebel Room up here in Ely, if you have any questions that you want relayed to Coach Sanford or any of the players, send them to me, ryan.green, G-R-E-E-N-E, at lasvegassun.com. Ryan.green, don't forget the dot, at lasvegassun.com. I'd be more than happy to relay them. We've already done it once this week, and the players and Coach Sanford or any of the coaches are more than happy to answer them. So send them my way, and you will hear them on the following installment of the Rebel Room. So for the Rebel Room, this is Ryan Green signing off from Ely. I will be back tomorrow following the 4 p.m. practice. Until then, take care. Have a great weekend.